Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody got gifts and talents and ability that was given by God. Some wanna be a doctor or a lawyer, or some just wanna be a star. Now you can be anything you want if you just believe. Ask yourself, what is it that you really wanna do? Name it and claim it and hold on to it, cause yeah.
If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it.
All right.
Don't worry about a thing or nobody. Just look to the hills, reach out and claim it. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it. Don't worry about a thing or nobody.
Nobody.
Just look to the hills, reach out and claim it.
Now there's no way that we could ever lose. Now we got on our side, yeah. Cause this word simply says that, yeah, yeah. If God be before us, who could ever be against us? And this is the confidence that we should have concerning Him. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That anything that we ask of Him, we know He hears us, but I
My friend, you can make it if you try.
Make it if you try.
Don't let your guilt hold you down.
And if you fall,
don't worry about it. You can dust yourself off.
Cause some people don't make it on their first try.
I love him. My soul rejoices today. Amen. Because my God is good and He is able. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my meditation scripture for this week, Luke 1:37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Amen. And praise God. God bless you. Good morning, Tina, Michelle. Good morning, prophetess.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Actually, it's afternoon, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Good afternoon.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm just running into the studio. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and I just hit the door right now, just hit the studio and came in and was able to come in and get to the broadcast here on time.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Are you expecting great things from God today?
Well, yes.
Always.
Always.
Always, I tell you.
Every day.
Every single day. There's a sense of expectancy in the air, and I know I'm joined by some women who are expecting great things from God. Because he is able, God is able. If you're in a dire situation, I tell people, if you find yourself in a dire situation right now, then begin to rejoice. Just start rejoicing. Because God is getting ready to show up and show out in the middle of that circumstance. And I'm just excited. I believe that he's doing something in the lives of his people during this season that we're in.
Amen.
So we're going to move forward. We want to open with prayer. This is Pastor Rebecca. I am joined by my co-host, Tina Michelle Borsico, who's a biblical life coach, and Prophetess Angie Singletary. And we are here for Woman to Woman for this week's edition of Woman to Woman. As you can see, we are all excited. We want you to get on the phone and tell somebody to tune in to blogtalkradio.com/power because there are some women of God who are going to be sharing their hearts and God's hearts with and God's heart with you on today. We are living testimonies of his glory, his greatness, his mercy, his grace, and we are definitely recipients of his love, and we love him. We love him with everything in us, with the essence of who we are, and we're just excited to be able to be used of the Lord to encourage our sisters on today. So we encourage you to let somebody know about this broadcast that Woman to Woman is on the air. The chat room is open, amen, and also we will be opening up the phone lines where you can come in and fellowship with us. So the chat room is open for all of those who want to come in and fellowship. So we're going to open a prayer. I'm going to ask one of my co-hosts, either one who's led the prayer, to just go ahead and open us in prayer. And we can just go ahead and move forward.
Father, we just praise you today. We thank you and glorify your holy name. Lord, we are humbled every day that we're able to breathe in and breathe out and be able to fellowship, share, and encourage and empower. We're humbled that you would use us as these vessels, as conduits for your word and for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the sisters and the brothers that listen to this broadcast across the internet and around the world. We thank you that exponentially by your power that this signal is moving out so fast that people are being blessed and touched that we don't even know about because they listen to the archive. So today, Father God, in this hour that you have carved out for this time to have this discussion with my beautiful pastor and prophetess, Angie Singletary, Father God, you just bless and move. Have your way. Flow the way you want to flow. Say what you want to say. Your will be done in this time right now. It's in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And this week we've been, all week long, my husband and I have been speaking out against domestic violence, and it's been an intense week. It's been a great week. On yesterday, Apostle Matthew Tillery came and shared with us about what God is doing during this time of shaking that's taking place in the world, and he talked about two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. It was powerful. I want to recommend the archive at blogtalkradio.com/power for those who missed it. Just to go back and listen to the archive, you will be blessed by what the man of God shared. And also, all week long, we've been speaking out against domestic violence. We're basically going to flow today because that's what we do best. But I guess what better place to start than to begin with the domestic violence issue. This month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month and also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we want to, as women, we want to be relevant and really touch upon some of the topics that are important to women. And one of the things that we know that is important to us as women is our relationships. know, good relationships and not so good relationships. I don't know where God is going to take us on today, but I just want to give my condolences, and we want to give our condolences to the Hudson family.
Amen.
To the Hudson family. That broke my heart. That really
yes.
broke my heart to for this young lady, Jennifer Hudson, whom we all know and love, to have to lose her mother, her brother, and her nephew all in the same day in such a tragic way. And they said that the murders were execution style. They do have a suspect. They don't know exactly who did it, but they believe that the sister's boyfriend is the prime, the sister's husband is the prime suspect, and that they believe that it is a domestic incident. So we want to just be sensitive to just give our condolences to the friends and family
Amen.
Of Jennifer Hudson. God is doing some, she is a woman of God, and God is doing some great things in her life. He's definitely getting the glory in her life because she's using her gifts, and she's shining. This is a time when she's shining for the Lord, because the Bible tells us to let our light so shine that men and women will look on our lives and glorify our Father.
Yes.
So we feel for her. I feel for her. I wouldn't
Amen.
Want to be in her shoes.
Amen.
No.
Praise God.
Yeah, so we want to remind you to pray for her and her family. And a lot of people say, well, if she wasn't a celebrity, it would not have hit the news. But the thing about it is, she is a celebrity. It did hit the news.
Mm-hmm.
And that does not make us any less sensitive to her pain.
That's right.
You know, she's hurting.
Yeah.
She's hurting right now. So, and I know what it's like to lose a loved one. So we want to just be sensitive to this issue of domestic violence. And I'm just going to open up the floor for, you know, my co-host to speak or say whatever it is that God has on your heart for today. Amen.
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 Amen. I've heard a few people discuss the fact, exactly what you just said, that because she's a celebrity, we wouldn't be hearing about it. And it's a strange fact that that may be true, but what it has done was brought to light, even more so, almost like a punctuation on this month that we're dealing with the topic of domestic violence, that this is happening to a celebrity. So it's making people say this can happen to anyone. This could happen in anyone's household. No one's exempt. So in a strange way, it seems so ironic that in this month and at this time and in this season, this is what we're talking about in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Ongoing through the media and the newspapers and different organizations are finally being highlighted for their work in this area, the consistent work in domestic violence, that, you know, Jennifer Hudson would have to go through such a tragic, tragic thing.
Wow.
It's a very tragic thing. But it's bringing a lot of light to a topic that, Pastor Rebecca, you've been continuously saying that people do not necessarily want to discuss.
Oh, it's not a topic that wants to make you jump and shout. It's
right.
It's sad, you know. It's a mm-hmm. sad topic when you think that women are allowing themselves to be in a relationship with men that they know that they don't need to be in relationship with. And I speak now as someone who's passing judgment, because I have been in enough of those relationships, believe me. I thank God for Pastor Anthony. I thank God for my husband today. But I have allowed myself to be in relationship with men that didn't deserve to be in relationship with me, because I didn't believe that I deserved any better. And it's a shame when your self-esteem is so low
Mm-hmm.
that you feel like you need somebody to validate you, and you just be happy to have, you know, I was just happy to have somebody that wanted me.
Right.
Just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. You
Amen.
Know, I can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of my most favorable qualities and one of my least favorable qualities.
Uh-huh.
People either love me or hate me because I'm so honest.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just good to have somebody that looked at me to want me, you know, because my self-esteem is not that I wasn't beautiful or I wasn't worthy. It was just that I didn't believe that I was beautiful. I didn't believe that I was worthy. And I taught this last night that what you believe in your heart, you think it in your mind and you begin to speak it from your mouth, and then your actions will follow that.
Yeah.
So and then you get the results from what you believe and what you have thought and what you have said and what you have acted out upon. So, you know, it's a shame because the sister said, Julia Hudson, and my prayers go out to this mother who has lost her son.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my only crime was to love someone.
Wow.
You know, she said my only crime was to love someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain that she didn't feel like this was not the right man for her, or that this man was a murderer,
right,
when she got into a relationship with him. Or maybe she was at a place in her life where she didn't know to pick any better.
Right.
You know, because we've all been there. I mean,
oh, yes, yes.
The women, I'm sure that the women that are listening and the women on my co-host can testify that we have all been there when
we have
allowed ourselves to be in a relationship that we know that relationship wasn't for our best interest.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Because we tend to choose where we are, not where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So if you can't see beyond where you are, the circumstantial evidence that's against you at that moment, then you're going to choose based on what you believe is true for you.
Right.
We've all done that.
Amen.
We've all done that. I mean, then we've all have been able, some of us, at least I know I have been able to come to conclusions, not just in my marriage, but also with friendships that I might have had for 30 years.
Right.
That this relationship no longer serves where God is going in my life.
Wow.
Amen,
where God
has
taken me. And then having the strength to rise up and say, I'm not a verbal punching bag. I'm not a physical punching bag. I'm not a garbage reciprocal for gossip and for turning, you know, to putting people down. I am a daughter of God.
Amen.
And because
Amen.
I'm a daughter of God, he didn't make me garbage. So I don't need to put garbage in, you know, through listening or being in what I tell my children that if you are around the crime and you do nothing about it, that's called compliance. That is equally, it makes you just as guilty as the person who has convicted the crime.
Wow.
So
I agree with
being
that.
In compliance, you know, and it's a legal term used in the courthouse. There's people who have come up and were tried 20 years later for what they consider complicity of criminal activity. Well, some things are not murder physically.
Right.
But I've complied with things that the Lord says I hate by allowing certain things in my life, by allowing certain people in my life, because we're the average of the five people that we talk to and hang out with the most. So sometimes it's environmental. You don't know any better, you know. Those are the people that you were raised with and you hung with. And when you're a child, you know, you're sort of all put in the classroom together, and you're called to, you sort of sort through it as a child. You learn as you go. But as you get older, there comes a point where the rubber meets the road, especially if you're walking with Christ, that this can no longer happen. I can't be in compliance. I can't be in agreement with you. This is not what my daddy's about. If I say I'm about my father's business, I'm not going to sit here and do this. I'm not going to sit here and do that. And if I say that I have responsibility in my household for my children, for their safety, and I allow something unsafe, whether it's their father or not, to continue in my life, then I'm complying with the criminal act of abuse. And that's not easy. It's not easy to make that decision. That's why fellowship is so powerful. Proper fellowship, Christ-centered fellowship is so powerful, because then you're able to get strength from your sisters and your brothers and good teaching and reading your word, and you're able to see, okay, I know better now, so let me do better now.
Amen.
And that's the thing. You have to get to the point where you know better, you know, and that's what we're talking about. It's easy to stand on the other side, you know,
right.
And this is where I have to always be sensitive, because it would be easy for me to stand on the other side now that I'm out of of bad relationships, now that I know better, now that I'm doing better, it's easy for me to stand over here and look and point the finger and say, you should have known better. Why did you even allow yourself to be in relationship with this guy? You should have known his character.
Right.
You know, it's easy to stand on the other side. But the thing about it is when we look back over our lives and we think things over, oh, yeah, we can surely say that we've been blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And we
praise
got
the
a
Lord.
Testimony. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, 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 yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My God. Because there go I. There was I. But for the grace of God. But God.
Yeah.
But
hallelujah.
God put his hand on my life and said,
yeah.
Daughter, I have a greater plan for you. My plan
yeah.
is to prosper
yeah.
you
yeah.
and not to harm you, to give you a hope
That's
in the
right.
future. I have plans for you for
That's
good
right.
and not for harm, not for
Amen.
Evil.
Amen.
Plans to bring you to an expected end. And that is the thing. That scripture, Jeremiah 29:11,
powerful.
No matter what.
Powerful.
Yes.
So powerful.
No matter
powerful.
What translation, King James and Isaiah, Standard, whatever.
It's all good.
Jeremiah 29:11. You
it's
know,
all good.
That tells me that God's all good. Prophetess?
It's all good.
It's all good.
Amen.
It's all good, and I receive it.
Amen, amen, all day
I
long.
I receive it all day long.
All day long, hallelujah.
All day long,
amen.
Hallelujah.
It's a beautiful thing when God opens your eyes and lets you see who you are and your worth. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
Wow, that's powerful. It's a beautiful thing when God opens your eyes and lets you see who you are and your worth.
That's right. Amen.
That's saying a lot right there. It's
Amen.
A lot. Because being in situations and just counseling so many women, coaching so many women and families, and being in a situation myself, I can say while you're going through it, you're numb. Your eyes are not open. Your eyes are not open. And
right.
you purposely close your eyes to the situations, close your eyes to the impacts of situations, just because you feel like that's the only way that you can survive. On a day-to-day basis. So that day when he opened your eyes, just like Paul on the Damascus Road, and he shows you the truth. That thing, at first you don't even want to see it. Your eyes start to hurt. Saul was blinded on that road. Your eyes start to hurt and say, no, it's not that. No, it's not that. It's this, it's that. So you go into some kind of a denial. And then you have to deal with it at some point. If you don't just keep going before God and say, Lord, keep opening my eyes and give me the wisdom to walk this thing out. Because it's so easy to just close your eyes and deal with the same-o.
That's right.
Because, one, you don't want the shame of the public recognition that you, too, you're going through it, too.
Yes.
You know, and I've seen women of stature, women of position struggle with that thing. Because so they felt like there was so much to lose that if I said something, so they're going to know. But when your eyes are open when God opens your eyes to who you really are.
Yes,
and
yes.
And makes you present. You said a whole bunch of stuff when you said that, prophetess.
Amen, amen.
You said a whole bunch. Cause when
and I'm saying that from experience. Because, hey,
yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Hey,
hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah. And it just hit me in my heart because I said, that's what it is. I felt like I was walking down a Damascus road. You know, and when my eyes were closed to certain situations, and then my eyes just opened, I went, oh, no. And then
wow.
the Lord said, what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I heard my mama's voice, because my mother would always say, folk are folk. They do what they do. What
right.
you going to do?
Mm.
It's up to your character.
Amen.
It's up to your integrity. It's up to your stand to take a stand for what you know is right. Because if you do not go for something, you will fall for anything.
Oh, yes, yes.
You will fall for anything. So I heard the Lord, but I heard my mama's voice. What you going to do? And then I remember the scripture when Jesus was in front of the tomb. Remember he was in front of the tomb and the man was dead? He was already buried. And they said if he had come earlier, he wouldn't have died.
Yes.
And he was in front of that tomb and he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I know you always hear my prayer. But for the sake of these witnesses, then he spoke to that tomb. And he said, rise up. I felt that in my spirit. Therefore, there's people around us. Again, I think it's stated in Hebrews again that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Oh, yes.
You know, for the sake of the word.
Thank you, God.
It's time to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Rise
my
up.
God.
Amen.
And
amen.
Open your eyes and see round about you.
Mm.
That scripture that held me together, you asked last week, Isaiah 60. Rise and shine.
Yes,
for your
rise
life.
Up.
Come.
Yes.
It's time. That scripture, I'm telling you, kept me through all kinds of situations. The same word, different situation.
All right.
Every time I would read that word, I kept hearing, Tina, rise up. Rise up. Not rise up in your flesh. Not rise up in your mouth. Not rise up in your emotion. He said, rise to a new light, for it's my glory that has risen upon you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Beautiful.
Thank you,
Jesus.
You,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's not pointing a finger at people.
Right.
Because, I've seen all kinds of things. You know, we've all seen all kinds of things, and we've been all kinds of places. Not pointing a finger. It's just an encouragement to the women who are listening.
Yes.
That
and then
power
it lets you. I'm sorry.
Is available to rise
yes.
up. That's okay.
And then you can have compassion on somebody else because you've been there.
Yes.
You've done that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your purpose is in that pain. Your purpose is in that pain.
Hey, there's a purpose. And the compassion is just so important because with the same comfort which we have been comforted, then we have been called to go back and comfort somebody else.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's why even though, like Dana Neal said, and God bless you, Ms. D. Neal, Mrs. Dana Neal, she said that this may be about domestic violence, but it's right on time.
Right.
You know, because all of this is until, you know, anytime that you talk about domestic violence, you have to talk about the relationship and you have to talk about the self-esteem. You have to talk about the self-worth, you know,
yes.
Not even self-esteem, but knowing what you're worth in God's eyes. You
yes.
know, for so long, I allow other people to validate me. You know, when you
mm-hmm.
allow other people to validate you, you're only going to be as worth as much as they deem you to be worth. So
right.
it's like
that's
something's
right.
got to give when the people are constantly valuing you of validating you beneath your value, beneath your true value. You know, you get to a point where you're like, wait a minute. Hey, it reminds me of a march that we did, and Pastor Anthony and I always laugh at this. We were having some murders in the city of Elizabeth where our great church is, and we have a great church in Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Christian Ministries, 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. The Lord
yes.
is blessing.
Oh,
that
yes.
is the place where God dwells. But
yes.
we were doing a march right after early this year, and it was, I believe it was in June, we were doing a march with some people that had come to the church and asked us to march with them. So as we were marching, they were chanting. They started out the chant, if we don't get no justice, they don't get no peace. So if we don't get no justice, they don't get no peace. But somewhere along the line, it changed. So for about 3 miles, no, about 2 miles, we marched. If we don't get no justice, we don't get no peace. So we're marching. If we don't get no justice, we don't get no peace. If we don't get no justice, we don't get no peace. And then finally, the guy who was ahead of the chant, he stopped and he said, well, wait a minute. No, if we don't get no justice, they don't get no peace. And we laugh at that all of the time because we would say, of course, if you don't get no justice, you're not going to have no peace. So that's a wimpy chant. You know, you're out there chanting for justice, and you're mm-hmm. saying, you know, please give us justice because if we don't get no justice, we're not going to have no peace. And he's saying, no, you got to make a stand. You have
yes.
to make a stand and say, if I don't get no justice, you don't get no peace.
All right. Amen.
So it was just like, but that's how it has to be in our lives as women, you know,
yeah.
when we're in our relationships, the relationship has to be one of justice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if we don't get no justice, then they can't get any peace. They can't
mm-hmm.
get no peace. You know, I can't let life be coming up roses for you when
mm-hmm.
you're giving me the short end of the stick in this
Amen.
Relationship.
Hallelujah.
You know, and because we're nurturers and because we're givers, we normally do. You know, we give beyond the need, you know, beyond even our capacity. We give everything that we have,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes in these relationships. And sometimes, you know, it's good to just step back and see what we're really saying, you know, and
yeah.
just say, wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute. You know, this is not 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 60-40. This is 90-10. Right. You know, I'm giving 90, you giving me 10 back. Something's wrong here. You know,
mm-hmm.
something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the case even with abusive relationships. You know, abusive, so many things. There's emotional abuse, there's physical abuse, there's economical, financial abuse, you
mm-hmm.
know, where you could be married to someone and they're supposed to be providing for you and they have you living below the poverty line. You know, and every
mm-hmm.
time you try to pull up, you know, they try to tell you that that's not your place, that they're the provider,
right.
but yet they're not providing. And then you stand up and you be a woman, and they quote, they're saying now you're trying to be the man. So that's
mm-hmm.
economical
mm-hmm.
abuse, you know. So there's just many types of abuse that we have to look at. But the thing about it is every woman out there who's listening, we just want to say that you're better than that. You know, God did not create you to be in an abusive relationship. You know, he did not create you to be living beneath his standards for you. You know, God has already set a standard for you, and that's the standard that he would have you to walk in.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's a hard topic. I mean, each time I think I've been on with you. Have I been on with you every time this week?
Yeah, you've been on. But I don't know if I saw you on Monday when I did a reading. Yeah, Monday, I want to encourage people to go back and listen to the archives because on Monday I did a reading from Nobody's Business, and that's a great book. Again,
yes,
it highlights.
Is.
Thank you, Prophetess. I tell you,
yes,
it highlights this topic because,
yeah.
I mean, it's some crazy folk in that book,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a good book. Did you read it, Tina Michelle?
Yes, I did before I gave it to my mama.
Okay, so you
yes,
know it's a crazy
did.
Folk.
There's a book in that thing. I see that
folk.
On television.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to write something that would captivate the audience and also to highlight the issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we deal with as women. Because women are, don't you know, women are the most beautiful creatures on this earth.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just phenomenal, fantastic, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made. We are just awesome. God, when he made us, he really did break the mold, you know.
Mm.
He had to do something special. He couldn't create us from the dirt like he did with man, with Adam, even though we were inside man when he created man. But he had to, you know, first he protected us by creating us inside of man, and then he had to put man to sleep to pull us out of man. My God, oh, we serve an awesome God. When he created woman, he just outdid himself. So we
Amen.
Have to know that our worth is far more than rubies and diamonds
yes.
and
Amen.
Stuff.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And it's funny because as you said that, it reminded me of an old comedy routine by Bill Cosby. He said, God created Adam, and then he created this other being from Adam, and Adam named her and said, woo, man. and that's why she's called woman. And
Amen.
It just cracks me up because when you think about it, we don't have a lot of that type of separation or distinction in our society anymore. We're supposed to run and roll just like a guy.
Mm.
So when you have
that's
so
cool.
much
society, yeah.
But not, I mean, that's not how I've accepted it. And we all have to take even our stand as women.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that the pressure, like you're saying, economic abuse, the pressure to perform is in the marketplace. It's in the career. You know, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I had one young lady say to me once, well, where's the line? I said, I serve my house. So I go out as an ambassador of my household. So when I'm out there, you know, it's not about being a female. You're being feminine, but it's not about being a female and using your wiles, you know, to get what you want. You're walking in your anointing and your call and your power, but you're still a woman. But when you come home, you should be a queen.
Wow.
You should be a queen. And if it's anything else but that, then we have to look at really where is the disagreement when it comes to the word. So we have a higher standard. We
yeah,
have a higher standard. It's not just come home and bring a check. It's coming into agreement, reading that word. We have a playbook that's awesome, the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
The Word of God. And with that word as the blueprint of any relationship, even with my business partners. That's our blueprint. That's our core foundation. And it's fantastic because if we have a disagreement, we go back to the Word and say, what is God saying about this situation?
Wow.
So when you don't see that, that's when you have a whole bunch of disagreements and railings happening within a situation, within a relationship or a partnership, because people are not saying that let God be true and every man a liar. And it's very difficult sometimes to come to a place of agreement if that Bible, if that Word is not your final authority.
In every area of your life.
That's
in
your,
in every single relationship. That's why we talked yesterday about being unequally yoked. You know, so many women are getting to the point where they feel like time is running out. Your time is not running out, woman of God.
Amen.
You know, God, the man of God talked about Kairos time. God set time, a set season, where God's going to do what he has already ordained, preordained to do in your life. There's a time that God has already set aside to bless you. There's some blessings that have your name on it. And then even if you have a desire to have a husband, to be married, to have children, you know, we have this thing called the biological clock, where we feel like our biological clock is ticking, and we must go ahead and get pregnant and have a, get married and get pregnant. But God's plan is greater than our plan, and we have to know that your clock is, you may be getting older, but the thing about it is if God meant for you to be married and settled down with kids, 5 or 6 kids, you would be married and settled down with 5 or 6 kids. God's plan is sovereign. His plan is supreme. Amen. And it's never too late I'm never too late. Let me tell you about my mother. I want to tell you a funny story. My mother is 67 years old. And she's beautiful. I mean, she is beautiful. And we went to my mother's house. I'm talking about never being too late. We, Pastor Anthony and I, went to dinner at Mom's on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we get, first of all, in church, Elder Dennis tells my mother, oh, wow, you don't look like you could be Pastor Rebecca's mom. You know, you look young, you know. And he wasn't hitting on her or anything. He was just giving her a compliment, like, you look young. So we just took it with a grain of salt, right? But he told her that, and then he told Pastor Anthony and myself. So we go to my mother's house, and my mother comes out of the door to see us off because we're leaving. And the guy comes from next door, and he says, hi, how you doing, Mom? How you doing, Mom? And they talking about, you don't look like a mom. He said, you look like a spring chicken. You looking good, girl. My mother started blushing. She and we started laughing. We're like, Mom, go in the house. She said, well, let me go in the house. My mother's a widow. You know, she's a widow. She's been single for a lot of years.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, Mom, go in the house. You know, just go. So it's never too late. You know, when God is your season, it might be her season for a husband.
Mm.
You know, when it's your season, it's just your season,
right.
You know. And God... You know, God gives us fullness of years. He gives us fullness of years. Just because we're getting older does not mean that we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
We should be getting better as we age. Ha! Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We should be getting better as we get older. My God.
Amen.
Well, there's a T-shirt that I'm making for. I'm making a T-shirt for one of my projects, and it's basically just about that topic. It's about maturity versus age. So the T-shirt that we're making says, don't just grow old, grow up.
Grow up, my God.
See?
My God. And that's it for me. I want to be better at 60. I'm 47.
Yes.
I'm 47. I want to be bolder, more brighter, more beautiful at 60 than I was at 30. You know, I mean, my goal is to stay on top of the game, you know, not to let the game be on top of me. My goal is to stay fit, to stay healthy, to prosper. The 3 John 2 is my goal, to be in good health and prosper even as my soul prospers. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the plan. You know, we can't let life beat us down. That's why I thank God for this fellowship.
Amen.
Because together we strengthen each other. Iron really does sharpen iron.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't let life and relationships and circumstances beat us down and beat us up to the point where we look raggedy. You know,
That's right.
We just start to look like life been beating us up. You know, what was that song, Prophetess? I don't look like.
Yeah, I don't look like what I've been through. I love it. Dion Kipping.
I don't look like what I've been through. Sure. Huh. I mean, don't let life beat you up and beat you down to the point where you can't pick yourself up.
Amen.
Yeah, you might have some time where you just look like you've been through the ringer, but that's okay too, you know, because you don't have to put on a mask for that season that you look like you've been through the ringer, because it's just a season. This too much shall pass. But to get to the point where, you know, you could see me beat up and beat down maybe for a day or a week or a month, whatever, but the thing about it is I'm coming up out of this thing, and God is going to get the glory, because you're going to know that it was only God that brought me through.
Amen.
It was only God that brought me over, and I'm better. You know, I'm wiser. My God, I'm stronger, as he says in the song. You know, I came out on top. I did not go under while I was going through.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Go ahead, Tina.
Yeah. Oh, I was just saying amen. I was just in agreement. I was just saying amen.
Because and Dana is saying,
I look at pictures.
Go ahead.
I would say, I look at pictures of just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I look older than I do now.
Right. And that's why, because you're getting better. You know, because look, aren't we going from His glory, to His glory, to His glory?
Amen.
You know, aren't we going from God's glory deeper into God's glory? Is really His presence. You know, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're right in the center of His glory. You know, and when it's something about being in the, that's only a part of His glory. That's just a little glimpse of His glory. When you get into the presence of the Lord, as Moses, when he went up to the presence of the Lord and he stayed up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came out and his face was all shiny and the glow that the people could not even look on his face. He had to put a veil on. You know, when we talk about the glory of God shining through us, my God.
Jesus.
Oh, wonderful, beautiful, you know. That's a beauty beyond something that you could get with makeup or by going to get a makeover somewhere. You know, with His glory.
That Holy Ghost Max Factor. That was Holy Ghost Max Factor. That glow that only the Holy Spirit could give you and impart into your life. It's a whole different thing. It's like when a woman is pregnant. You know, when I first got pregnant, my mother looked at my face and she said, "You're pregnant." I said, "No, I'm not." I looked at my mother because I was having my second one at the time, and we were being screened to adopt a special needs child. So I was like, "I'm going." Thing is operating the way it's supposed to operate for the final screening. She looked at me. She said, "You're pregnant. You got a glow."
And mothers always know.
Especially my mama. She said, "You're pregnant. You could go ahead to the doctor, do whatever, but you're pregnant." Got to the doctor, and I said, "You know, I'm feeling a little tired, but I think I'm fine. And maybe it's a cold." And he said, "Yeah, it's gonna last another 7 months. You're pregnant."
Wow. Wow. And it's the same thing through life, because we're always pregnant with purpose.
Yes.
You know, we're always pregnant with purpose. You know, that purpose must be fulfilled in our lives, you know.
Amen.
And it's a glow that God gives us when we're pregnant with the Holy Ghost, you know, when we have the Holy Ghost living up on the inside of us, you know. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We want to welcome everybody to the chat room. God bless you all, and thank you so much for joining us on today. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I'm joined by my co-host, Tina Michelle, who's a biblical life coach, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary. We want to welcome Peace and Their Pods to the chat room. We want to welcome guests 442, Mrs. D. Neal, Evangelist J. Luciano, and also we have Prophetess Singletary and Tina Michelle in the chat room as well. We want to welcome everyone who's streaming, and we also want to invite you to call in. I know a lot of people are looking at the topic on the schedule, and they're saying they're talking about domestic violence. You almost want to take that off, because people probably won't come in, and they'll miss what God is doing, a move of God in the room, because what we're doing really is we are flowing, and domestic violence is one of the topics that we have discussed and may continue to discuss on today. But there's always a rhema word here for the women of God that gather in this place. So we want to just encourage you to invite somebody to come in and share with us. And if you have a ministry, and I've invited all of those with ministries to come in and share and speak out against domestic violence, I'm going to leave it on the board because God instructed me specifically to talk about domestic violence for a whole week to make sure that we are shining the light on the fact that you don't have to live like that. If somebody is being mistreating you, let's just say it like that, mistreating you in a relationship, you don't have to live like that. And that's basically all that we're here to say while we encourage you and exhort you and empower you through the fellowship that we have with each other. We want to open up the phone lines. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. You can call in and speak with us and share with us what's on your heart, ask us any questions, or even if you have a prayer request, we want to invite you to come and join us. And we also want to let you know that the God's Leading Lady Conference CDs and DVDs are still available. We are still producing CDs and DVDs from that awesome conference that was held earlier in the month of October, the first, second week of weekend of October. So we want to invite you to go over to nccmonline.org and pick up the CD or DVD set. And finally, we want to invite you, if you're in the New Jersey area, to come out and fellowship with us. Hallelujah, over at New Creation Christian Ministries. It's an awesome place where the Spirit of the Lord abides, and we are just sold out. We're sold out. We're fanatical for Christ. Amen. And that's the only way that we will have it. We love the Lord. We love God. We love the Lord. Amen. So we invite you to come and fellowship with us any given Sunday. Tuesday is our prayer night, and Wednesday is our corporate Bible study where we are being empowered in the Word. So that's it for the announcements. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and the address is 07206. And maybe you can't come, but the Lord is pressing upon your heart to be a blessing to this ministry. We certainly would take any contribution to this ministry going forth that you would want to, that the Lord would lead you to send our way. Amen. And the address is the same address that I just gave, New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, to be a blessing to this ministry, to help to facilitate this ministry going forward. Because we're going forward, amen, and we would love to have you partner with us, amen. Amen, and praise God. So the phone lines are open. I'm here with Prophetess, and I'm here with Tina, and we're just having a blessed time. And Dana Nils in the chat room. And I just noticed that Mrs. D. Nils said something in the chat room. She said in the chat room that she was unequally yoked. She said, I'm unequally yoked. And we were talking about unequally yoked, but Dana has an awesome testimony. I want to also, before I go into that, I want to welcome Marcus Boston. Marcus was here. I believe that he is still here. Marcus, God bless you. I was listening to Marcus's broadcast on yesterday. Marcus is a man of God, and I won a free book. I won a free book on his show yesterday. So thank you so much, Marcus. Marcus is an author, and you can go ahead and put your URL in the chat room, Marcus, so we can know where to find you. I love stopping over to his broadcast over here on Block Talk Radio. So Dana was saying that she is unequally yoked, and that is something that we were talking about earlier, being unequally yoked. But Dana has an awesome testimony because God is bringing her through victorious. And yeah. I just wish Dana, you know, don't know, I would love to have you call in. Can you call in, Dana? Dana's at work. And she probably is not able to call in, but I would just love to have Dana call in and give her testimony because this woman is walking out a testimony. She is walking out an awesome, awesome testimony. And what is this with being unequally yoked? Does it just mean that you're a Christian married to someone who's not a Christian? Or can it be that you're a Christian married to a Christian who's not at your level of faith yet? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that mean, being unequally yoked?
Well, when I think of it literally, right, when the Lord Jesus was speaking about his burden being light, his yoke is easy, right? The image that comes to me is the yoke that they put on a ox, or they put on a beast of burden. So if the two animals are pulling a load that's very heavy, and they're not yoked equally, then one of the oxes or the oxen have to take more weight than the other, and then that one is pulling all the weight, and then what happens is they can break a leg or break a foot because they're dragging people around. Now, they're yoked together, but they're unequally yoked. One is carrying more than the other to its detriment, not just, you know, financially, not just spiritually. One is carrying more than the other. So if I had to look at it equally, it is about belief. Now, there's situations where you might be just more mature than your spouse in the Lord, and they'll come along. But as long as that word and prayer and fellowship is in the middle of that, that's a whole different situation. I've seen women who would, or men even, who wanted their spouse to just be like them, better than, you know, to do better in Christ. And that person had such a beautiful heart, such a beautiful heart. They just loved the Lord. They just weren't like them. I don't think that's a good excuse to put someone down just because they're not where you are and maybe reading the word or something. But there is a real dilemma when you don't believe the same thing. And you don't believe that the word is the final authority, that Jesus is Lord. He is the Son of God who died and was resurrected. And because of that fact that we have received reconciliation with the Lord, there is a real serious danger in that. Because the security that you have with having that word and having the Spirit of God, having a spirit-controlled temperament, because the Holy Spirit has access to you, right? And knowing that Jesus is Lord, the security is it could go, things can go a little bit awry. Doesn't mean it's going to fall apart, because you're going to come back into center and have the security of knowing that God is in the middle of it. So that's what I look at. When I look at unequally yoked, you look at the heart. You look at who's the center of this, who's the center of the relationship. Is God an afterthought? Is he the core principle, the core value, the core motivator? Is the word the blueprint? Is Jesus Lord? Or does one of you just believe that God is a great philosophy and Jesus was a great teacher? You know, those things will make or break your situation.
Amen. And in the chat room, P's in their pause is saying unequally yoked. Unequally yoked is something that does not mix, like oil and water. And that is so true. When you have tried to put oil and water together, they just don't mix. And I think the primary basis for that scripture is that you cannot put an unbeliever in a marriage with a believer, because I said it yesterday. I like the analogy that you used, Tina, and I also said it yesterday. It's like putting an auction with a donkey. The donkey's always going to want to go in another direction. You know, the oxen is trying to stay on the path because the oxen knows that he has to do the job to plow the field, but the donkey's trying to go on a whole other direction. So and so
or not
times,
at all.
Or not at all. And so many, and there's, you know, so many times we find ourselves as women in those type of relationships. And I know there are some men who would say that they have even found themselves unequally yoked. But, you know, speaking woman to woman, sometimes you find yourself in a relationship like Dana is saying, where you're unequally yoked. And in most cases, it's because you both were not saved when you got married. And I believe that is Dana's testimony, that when they got married, neither one of them were saved. Or maybe you were both backslidden and you went ahead and you got married. But then when you got married, one of you went back to the Lord and the other one decided that they didn't want any part of your God yet. Again, so now you find yourself in a marriage that's just not working. Or in your case, Tina, what you were telling us yesterday, you married the man, you were both Christians, you were both walking with the Lord, but then he went the other direction. His focus got off course, and now you were unequally yoked within your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was difficult because on the outside looking in, it didn't look like that, you know, so I had to keep checking myself, saying, am I being controlling? He shifted gears, but he kept going to church. So that was very confusing to me, you know, in a lot of ways. And I always say he's a good guy. You know, he's not a negative person, so I don't like to say bad things. But the bottom line is when a person and they're, no one can come in your house and really tell you what the truth is unless they live in your house, right? So when people have a specific conduct outside the house and specific conduct inside the house, it causes a lot of division and a lot of stress and a lot of strife and upset. And that happened after being married for over a decade. So it wasn't anything that I could have even imagined. It wasn't something that I could have imagined because I did not know him any other way. I didn't know him in the world. I didn't know him as anything except for a spirit-filled man who loves the Lord and he, you know, has a humble demeanor. That's the only thing I knew. So when I saw something different, I just kept trying to go before God and pray and say, maybe it's me, you know, maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And there was a whole bunch of factors. There's a whole bunch of considerations. And that's a reality. That's why I didn't make a decision right away, because sometimes we have a moment. Sometimes we're going through a transition. Sometimes we're just off our game, and that's fine. But when it comes to getting to a situation where it's very explosive in your household, you're in physical, you're in harm's way, and your children are in harm's way, and after five years of self-counsel, you know, there comes a time when you have to protect your life. And you're saying,
amen. And that's what Pastor Anthony and I say. We want to welcome Pastor Sherry to the chat room. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in, women of God. We don't, you know, God, we don't endorse people getting divorced, even if you're being physically abused. We do tell women to get to a safe place. You know, we're not endorsing you staying there, being somebody's punching bag, or being allowing yourself to be abused. We do say get to a safe place, especially where there are children involved. And then wait on the Lord. You know, wait on the Lord. And if the Lord releases you, the Bible says that there are two reasons for divorce. One is sexual immorality, infidelity, if the person is sexually unfaithful, or fornication. And the second is if that person leaves. You know, if the person leaves, the Bible said, let them go. If the person decides to leave, it says if an unbeliever leaves, let him go. Now, some people will say, well, what if he's a believer and he leaves? Well, if he walks away from his obligations and refuses to take care of his family, the Bible says he's an infidel. He's an unbeliever, and he should be treated as such. So that person is, if he walks away from his responsibilities and refuses to provide for his family, then he is an unbeliever. So if he leaves, the Bible says let him go. And I always tell women, I have to say, if a man leaves you, and if he's crazy enough, if you know you're a good woman, and that man is crazy enough to walk out on you, if he can't see the blessing that you are to his life, then let him go. Don't be running after no man. You know, I tell women all the time, don't run after no man. You know, because men, you know, I know this is woman to woman, men are thrilled by the chase. Men still want to be the hunter. Men still want to be the aggressor. They want to be the ones to come after you as opposed to you running after them. As a matter of fact, desperation is a turnoff for most men. So we have to be sure that we're not chasing after the man, but we have to allow the man to see us, to see the blessing that we are, and to pursue us. That doesn't mean that we can't let the person know that we're interested, but by the same token, it's not to the point where we're being crazy and throwing away our Christianity and our integrity in Christ. You know, we still have to be women of God, even those of us who are still waiting for a relationship. So being unequally yoked also means that you don't compromise. You know, I mean, that you do compromise. So you want to avoid being unequally yoked. You don't want to compromise, you know. Just because you feel like time is running out, or you feel like you want to be married, or you want to have children. Now, for people who are already married, it's a whole different story. Like Mrs. D. Neal, she's married. And she's saying in the chat room that she's married and she and her husband are unequally yoked, and he is not, he's being blinded by her light because her light is shining in Christ. And it's hard for them to get along because she's in Christ and he has not accepted the Lord yet. She says she has walked away, she said, but she has come back and stayed because she wants to help her husband to be saved. Now, Dana Neal has already testified this week that she was the abuser in her relationship, you know, and I guess it's because she was frustrated with, you know, everything that was going on, so she became abusive. So, but she said that's not justified, and the Lord has healed her and delivered her from wanting to fight. And we praise God for that. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now she's in the process of waiting on the Lord. You know, and Dana, I believe that you're doing the right thing, you know, by waiting on the Lord. You know, unless God tells you you can go, you can't go. You know,
yes.
You cannot go.
God,
I mean,
can do anything. He
yes,
can do anything.
He can turn that marriage around. He can save your
mm-hmm.
husband.
Mhm. Mhm. He could do anything, and I mean that was one of my reasons for staying so long. People, when they finally realized what was happening in my life, they said, "You never said anything." I said, "Because God could have changed it at any given time, and He would have been judged based on where He was, and that was dishonoring to my home." I was trained that unless that person is show enough coming to give you the counsel of the Lord, you don't put your business out there. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You don't just sit there and just talk to anybody, because not everybody means you well. They just don't. They just don't, unless the Lord releases you to speak, because you know that you're going to receive godly counsel, or this is the testimony the Lord chooses you to speak at that time to bless another person. You know, you just don't do it. So I stayed for a while, but when I realized where it was going, I went and got a Christian therapist, and I got a Christian coach to stand by my side so I could be so clear. And I watched her story. She went through a story where her husband left, and they were on the verge of divorce. But the Lord caught them and came back, and they got remarried.
Wow.
They got
Praise
remarried.
God. Praise
so God. So God can do anything. I even have a girlfriend who received the Lord, and she's, you know, her husband is a celebrity. He was not yet saved. But they was going through so much, and she was watching she was trying not to watch the news, because, you know, they were always in the news, you know, the tabloid. And then finally it was just getting so bad that she prayed, God, 911, 911. Shortly after that, he missed his plane on 9/11. He should have been on one of those planes. He was scheduled to be. He missed his plane, and he saw how God saved his life. He got born again. Then her sister-in-law, she got born again. And these are people who have lots of stature, you know, and they're saying, okay, I want my husband to be born again. But, you know, they're philanderers. They're this and that. That's never going to happen. So we ended up going to go and get a massage and everything together. And we claim him in Jesus' name. So she was planning to go home and minister the gospel. I said, do not beat him upside the head. Watch the Holy Spirit. He got into a taxi that day going to the Oscars. And the driver happened to be a limo driver that he had years before that they used to party with, do drugs with, everything else. That man was born again in that limo going to the Oscars because the driver was born again.
Amen.
And he said, if that man can get born again, there is really a God. There's really a God, because that guy was bad. So
Hallelujah.
God can do anything. He can use anyone at any given time to change the game. For me, it's make sure that you're safe. Make sure that you're clear. And, you know that He is God. Know that He is God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And Mrs. Dana, we're praying for you, because, you know, she's giving her testimony in the chat room. And, you know, the thing about it is God has a hedge around you, and no harm
Amen.
Shall befall you in the name of Jesus.
Jesus,
you keep working, walking with the Lord, and let the Lord lead you in the name of Jesus. And you have to know that God has you, and He will keep you. I see the testimony on your lips, and I thought about this on last night, that, you know, we have to really begin to confess what God confesses about
Amen.
Us, because the devil,
Amen.
If we start being scared, then now the devil has power over us.
Over
so
us.
The devil has no power over us, because God says, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So God has given us all that we need to handle fear when it comes in, from the devil or from any area. Now, I know that you love your husband. You know, I know that you love your husband. And the Lord, I know that you love Jesus, and I know that the Lord is leading you in the direction that you should go. And I know that you will obey the word of the Lord when you hear. Amen. And I know, Dana, that you're seeking to hear God's word. I know that
Amen.
You constantly come and you constantly put yourself into position to hear from the Lord.
Yes,
and I know
yes.
that you have heard from God. So now you're going to have to obey God, whatever God tells you to do. I know that you have a spiritual license to walk away if that's what you want to do. But you have to go with what God is telling you to do. You know, just because we have the license to walk away does not mean that we walk. You know, sometimes we stay, and we stay for different reasons. So that's going to be something between you and God. Well, you're going to have to get in your prayer closet with the Lord, hallelujah, and just go before the Lord. You said you sinned against your husband, you repented, and now God has forgiven you, and now it's on the other foot. If your husband, though, is displaying unrepentant behavior right now, that's a prayer concern. It's really something that you have to constantly pray about, you know, like, God, how much of this, especially if it's any form of adultery or abuse, because adultery is abuse, or anything like that, then that's something that you really have to go into prayer. You have to fast and pray and say, God, you know, what am I supposed to do in this situation? And then move out believing that you, the Bible says in the book of James, if any man lacks wisdom, if anybody lacks wisdom, that we should ask God, and God would gladly give it to us. And then when we receive it, we have to believe that we received that wisdom. That means that your faith is what's going to happen. After you receive the wisdom, you have to act out on the wisdom that you receive and go ahead and do what God is telling you to do. Obey God. You know, a lot of times we stay in relationships that have been long over because we have not obeyed God. You know, with marriage is tricky. You know, we, again, I tell you, we don't advise anybody to walk away. I will never advise any woman to divorce her husband, you know, but I will tell her what the Bible says, and I will tell her to pray, and I will tell her to obey what God is telling her to do. And some people will say, well, what if I miss God? What if I walk away and God is not telling me to walk away? God will give you grace. What if I stay and God is not telling me to stay? But you sense in your spirit, if you sense in your spirit that God is telling you to walk away or that God is telling you to stay, if you believe in your heart that that's what God is telling you, then God will give you grace even if you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. And I can attest to that because I've been talking to you off and on for a little over a year. And you have never said to me, I think you should do X, Y, and Z. You never did. You always pointed me to the Word and pointed me into prayer. Prayer, the Word, prayer. You know, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that because all it encouraged me to continue to pray, to continue to pray and hear the Lord and seek Him. So what Pastor Rebecca is saying is true because I've been on the other side of the table in this conversation with her. I've been on the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, because we're talking about marriage, you know, and we're talking about Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, so when you know, we're here talking about domestic violence, but we're not here promoting divorce. You know, we're here saying, get yourself to a safe place. You know, just make sure that you're safe. You know, get yourself to. I mean, I have a prophet. Is you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Praise God. I have a woman that I was blessed to meet because I saw a Peas in Their Pods was talking about African Americans and us being at the highest, women being at the highest risk of contracting the HIV virus. So, you know, when we're dating, again, and even when we're married, it's just very important that, you know, we protect ourselves, you know, that when we're dating, we need to just stay chaste, stay out of the bedroom, stay out of those predictable situations where we might find ourselves out of our clothes, you know. So, you know, just keep things zippered and buttoned and tucked and closed, you know. When we're dating, you know, we're not out there looking to sleep around when we're dating. But when we're married, you know, and adultery comes in, there is a risk. But we are protected, and God also gives us wisdom. I have a Carolyn Panetta. I had the opportunity to meet her. She wrote the book Preaching with AIDS. And she was, you may have seen her on TBN and things of that nature, but she did contract the virus. It could happen to anybody, you know. You could end up marrying a person and they have the virus, you know, which is what happened with Carolyn. You know, she married someone, he had the virus. But see, Carolyn went on with life, and did she not give God the glory in her life? My God, she preached with everything in her. She gave God the glory. Women were set free. Lives were saved. Lives were changed. God allows, he does allow bad things to happen to good people, but it's still so that he could get the glory. And when you have made up your mind to give God your whole life, you don't live your life out of fear. You live your life saying, you know what, God's going to get the glory in my life no matter what happens. You know, as long as I'm walking with him, I'm walking according to the promise as in his word. I'm going to do my part, and I trust God. I trust God to do the rest. I trust God to do his part. But Carolyn Panetta Jenkins, like I was saying, she married the man. Her husband married her, and they never had protected sex. They never used a condom or anything, and he never contracted the virus. He was a man of God. He's a man of God, and God protected him. So don't tell me that our God is not able to protect those who love him and who walk with him. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when Carolyn contracted the virus, she was not walking with God. She was in a backsliding state, you know, and it's just a whole lot of testimony to be gained from her testimony. But the thing about it is that we as women of God, we have to walk according to the assurance that we have with God, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never drop the ball on us. He will not let us fall. He tells us in the book of Numbers, Exodus, he says, I'm not going to let these diseases come upon you. You know, I'm not going to let any of these diseases come upon you. So these diseases are of the kingdom of the world. And the doctor's report, you may very well get a doctor's report that say you have a sickness. You know, you may have high blood pressure or heart disease or some kind of sickness. But the thing about it is the doctor's report is not even the final word.
Amen.
You know,
the
so
word is the final authority.
God's word is the final
God.
Authority, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God said in his word, I won't let anything touch you. I won't let anything harm you. Jesus said that nothing that the devil brings can harm you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. So I believe in the word of the God, of the Lord. If I'm talking to a woman right now who may find herself in a domestically violent relationship or maybe a relationship where your husband is being unfaithful. If God tells you to leave, you know, to put some distance between yourself and that husband who's being unfaithful or who's being domestically violent, then by all means, leave. You know, I say if you're being beat up, then leave. Get to a safe place. I even say if your husband is unrepentantly dipping that stick in all kinds of different places, I say get yourself to a safe place. If he's not repentant, if he's not remorseful, if he's continues to do the same behavior over and over again, I say yes, you may want to, even if you're not, you may want to even not have sex with him. I don't know, but like I said, it's a very touchy issue. But I personally would get myself to a safe place. I can only tell you what I would do. I would get to a safe place and say, you know what, I'm going to trust God. I may not divorce him, but I'm going to get to a safe place where I can trust God that either God's going to change him or it's going to be over. You know, I believe that either God's going to change him or God's going to remove him. I believe that you're protected by the Lord. I believe that if you're God's daughter, that he won't allow anything to come on you that you can't stand up under, and that God will get you out from under that thing, which means that he's going to shape up or ship out. I believe that with all of my heart. And that's what I believe about your husband, Dana. I believe that your husband's going to shape up or ship out. I believe that he's going to shape up or he's going to have to leave. He's not just like your husband, Tina. I told you that about your husband. I said either he's going to shape up or he's going to be pruned. And I can only tell you what I believe. I believe God's either he's going to shape up or he's going to be pruned. And in this case, he was pruned because he left. He became an unbeliever, and he forsook his responsibilities way before your divorce.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, too, there is such a sensitive issue because we are women of faith, right? So I had my conflict and confusion came in, and do I stick it out and believe God? God could do anything. I've watched God heal people. You know, I've watched God turn things around. Do I just stay and stick it out, Or is it, do I have, is this it? It is what it is. And that was the hardest thing for me. The hardest thing for me was I know what I've seen God do. And I didn't want to fail personally as a wife. It got to the place where I realized it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the fact that I did not feel safe. And there were other situations that did happen in the area of fidelity and infidelity that I believed God through. I thought that I was supposed to pray. That's what I was told. Just pray and believe God. Don't do anything. And, you know, just be quiet because he's a man of God. You know, just be quiet. And I did that. And it just got worse and worse and worse. So, you know, you have to seek God. And you have to also, you know, make sure that you're in fellowship, because isolation is also a killer. If you don't tell people, you don't get prayer, people that you know is going to give you godly counsel and get prayer and read your word. Sometimes, you know, just like what we talked about in the beginning of the broadcast, your eyes are closed. You're numb. You're numb. And then one day your eyes just open. You go, oh, my goodness. It is what it is. Now, God doesn't mean I'm going to run and flee or do anything. I see it clearly. Now, what is it that you need me to do? What should I be doing? What should
Amen.
I be doing?
And we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's why a personal relationship with God is just so important.
Yeah.
It's so important, because if you don't have a relationship with God, the stuff that you see going on in the world will drive you crazy. You will walk around here just scared, walking on eggshells, you know, scared to have a man, scared to, you know, open up your heart to love again, scared to trust anybody. I tell everybody, I don't trust primarily, it's not my husband that I trust, but I trust God not to allow my husband to hurt me beyond that which I can handle. Because God says in his word that he will never put any more on me than I can handle. And just when I feel like I can't take it anymore, he has already provided a way of escape. God has already provided a way out. Let me tell you, you are never stuck. You are never a victim in any situation, because you have God. As long as you hold on to God's unchanging hand, you cannot lose. We have so much power. We have dunamis on the inside of us. We're walking around with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. We have the promises and the blessings of Abraham over our lives. God says we are blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed when we come and blessed when we go. Our relationships are blessed. Our children are blessed. Our marriages are blessed. We have to begin to call those things that pertain to us and godliness. We have to begin to call everything that's connected to us blessed. We have to begin to confess what God confesses about us and about our lives. We have to confess that we will be married if we have a desire to be married, that we will be happily married if we have a desire to be happily married. You know, we know what we have. We never know what we're going to get. You never know. Don't stop praying for God to turn around your marriage. If you're in a marriage that does not look too good right now, what has God said? And what is God saying about your marriage? We have to realize that God's report is better than the report of the world, better than the report that of our eyes, that what we can see with our physical eyes. What we can see with our physical eyes is nothing compared to what God has already preordained for us. God has already tied up and stored up some blessings for us. Amen. I'm a blessed child of God. Amen. I said it last night. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I am not walking with fear, because the fear is from the devil. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Did my husband and I take an HIV test before we got married? Absolutely not. Has HIV been around for more than 25 years? Yes, absolutely it has. Is it a possibility and a probability in somebody else's life? Yeah. But for me, no. None of these diseases will come upon me in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I am prospering and being in good health even as my soul prospers. And I declare that over my own life. I am in God is in control. God is my source. He is my healer, my deliverer, my comforter. He is my friend who sticks closer than a brother. I trust God. I love my husband through my relationship that I have with God. You want to know why we have a great relationship? It's because both of us have the same level of respect and adoration and awe for God. We have a reverential fear of God. We know that if we do something, the end of sin, the result is death. Not necessarily for the other person, but for me. And I'm not afraid of death anyway. You know, I know this is a woman to woman, but we have to know that we don't even fear death.
That's right.
We don't even fear death. You know, so I can't walk my life in fear because my Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I wear this world like a loose-fitting garment, you know, and I know that God is not going to allow nothing can happen to me unless God allows it.
Mm-hmm.
And if God allows it, that means he knows I can handle it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give this number. We only have 9 minutes, and I want to talk to women. It's a tough topic, you know. But God, know that God loves you, and as we said earlier, he has a great plan. If you're being abused, there's a National Domestic Violence Hotline, www.ndvh.org, and the number is 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. That's a number that you can call to get some counsel, to get some advice, to get some guidance. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is good and always on time. And you know, I praise him. I worship him. We worship God today. We want to say hello to Nova Gatson, amen, who's in the chat room. We worship God. Prophetess, what's going on? We have 8 minutes, and you've been kind of quiet over there, so I want to open us up to just hear what's going on over there on your side of town.
I'm just taking everything in. You know, I've never been subject to physical abuse or anything, but, you know, just in learning and knowing who I am, I've been through that. You know, so it's cool to have outlets like this, you know, whether people choose to come forth or not, it gives them some hope and to let them know that they don't have to keep accepting things the way that they are. You know, they can bring about change in their lives.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm looking in the chat room, and Nova Gaston just came in, and she said, "Look at the Lord. I was just telling someone about my husband's story. His father killed his mother. My God." And here we are, just talking about that very topic today. Nova, was that recently? Our condolences definitely go out to your husband and his family. And she said I guess that was a long time ago. I guess it's not recent, but either way, it's tragic. And that's why we have to talk about this, prophetess. You know, like you were saying, whether people come forth or not, there are too many women being abused and taken advantage of, and God didn't create us for that.
Yeah.
You know, my when he was six, wow, yeah, and that's like my husband, his father beat his mom. And he testified about that before earlier. His father beat his mother to the point where she has arthritis over her whole body because of the broken bones that she had to suffer. You know, so when it gets to that point, you know, I feel that if a man will hit you once, he will hit you again unless he's really, really repentant about it. You know, and it's about control, it's about anger. And Dana, Neil, and I can tell you that it's about the issues that abusers have because we both wanted to fight when we were in our early years of being saved in our relationships with our husbands. We wanted to fight. And it's because of the anger that we had. I know for me it was anger. It was issues that I had, learned behavior, seeing my parents fight. But fighting is never right. Fighting is never right. And this man was left an orphan. Nova Gatson's husband was left an orphan because his father killed himself after he killed his mother. And it's amazing because I write about that in Nobody's Business. That's actually something that happens in my book. And I write about that, and the woman thought that justified her being abused, you know, because she felt that it was her fault. And we just have to pray, you know. We have to continue to pray. And he wrote a book, An Orphan's Prayer. And I would love to interview him. at some time or another to talk to him about his book and his testimony and how the Lord brought him through that terrible, terrible tragedy. But see how bad it can get?
Yeah.
We would love to keep it light, but this is how bad it can get if we allow ourselves to stay when we're being physically abused, when we're being beat and punched and kicked and spit on and all kinds of craziness. So we have to speak up that if you're being abused, get some help, get to a safe place. I don't recommend, I said this earlier, don't tell the man, you beating me, I'm leaving and I'm never coming back, because he may strike back and he might kill you. Don't do that. You know, just call the hotline, 1-800-799-7233, or go to www.ndvh.org, and go to your pastor, go to the church, and get some help. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are out of time. We have 4 minutes, and we're going to ask anybody people didn't call in. I guess it's a tough topic. But,
you know, but what's a tougher topic is talking about someone dying. Because
yeah.
No one said anything. No one made you aware that it is abuse. Some people don't know. It's normal. This is normal. You know, this is normal conversation. I remember having a discussion, even while I was married, with my ex about the manner in which the communication was. And then I realized, he said, I don't understand the problem. And when I looked around and, you know, the way he was raised, it was normal.
Wow.
That was normal communication for him. So, sometimes we have to have these hard conversations. We have to have them. Because if no one says it, who's going to say it? How will they know without a preacher?
Wow.
Amen.
Who's going to say it? Now, someone could be listening right now, Pastor Rebecca, and you went ahead and obeyed the Spirit of the Lord to have this conversation, and they had the strength to say no more. Or someone who is the abuser is saying, oh, my goodness, this is being spoken about everywhere. I need to get help. I need Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't know how the Lord can move.
Amen.
So that's why I don't run from hard conversations. Because if it's hard for me, that means there's pressure. There's an oppression out there that wants to keep it quiet, that wants to keep it secret, that wants to keep it, that thing hidden. So that that enemy can go ahead and kill those people. He don't want
Amen.
Us to live.
Amen.
By you exposing it and turning the light on it. One life saved by this week of broadcast.
Yeah, amen.
Is worth it all.
Amen. I'm feeling led to pray. I don't know if you can stay to pray, but I'm feeling led to pray. I see I'm going to stand, and I just want to prophesy, however long you can stay, just stay with us. But I want to pray. I want all of us, we're getting ready to go into a time of prayer and bind up the spirit of abuse, amen, and the spirit of adultery.
Yes.
We're going to cover marriages everywhere, amen. So for this next half an hour, I'm going to be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. We're going to pray. So, prophets, go ahead and start and flow, and then we'll pick up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this broadcast on today. We thank you for the topic of discussion, oh God, dealing with domestic violence, oh God. Lord, we thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That you love each
thank
and every one
Jesus.
Of us, oh God. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances and what our situations are. Thank you for knowing that we are more than
Lord.
Conquerors, oh God, through
hallelujah.
You that love us. Thank you for your love, oh God. Thank you for your compassion. For your compassion faileth not. Lord, we ask that you would just bless every listener, oh God. Bless everyone that's streaming behind the scenes online, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just intervene and just have your way. Anyone that's affected, oh God, by what's taking place, what's being discussed, oh God, Lord, we ask that you would just minister to their need, oh God. Lord, we come against the strong man, oh God. We bind the strong man right now. We thank you for knowing that the anointing is able to destroy every yoke, oh God, everything that's trying to take us under, everything that's trying to take us out. Lord, we thank you for the anointing, oh God. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against this demonic force, oh God, over taking out marriages, oh God. Lord, you said that marriage is honorable in your sight, oh God. Lord, we ask that you would just bless that man, bless that woman, oh God, that you've allowed to come together in holy
Hallelujah.
Matrimony, oh God. Allow them to put you first. God, in their lives, in their relationship, in their homes, oh God. Lord, we thank you for knowing that nothing can be done unless we make you the head. You are the head. You are
Hallelujah.
The head, oh God. You're the Alpha.
Hallelujah.
You're the Omega. You're the beginning. You're our end, oh God. And Lord, we can't do anything without you. We need you
Lord.
Today. We
Hallelujah.
Need you. We need you.
Yes,
we need you, God. Hallelujah.
We need
We're
you,
pleading
Lord.
Today,
Hallelujah.
Oh God. We're putting out an urgent cry, oh God, that you
Lord.
Would just have your way.
Have
your
way,
oh God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way in the lives of your people, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it's looking like, oh God. Thank you for knowing, oh God, that you are able. You're the able God. You're able to do all things but fail, oh God. All power today is in your hands, oh God. All power. Everyone, oh God, that gave a comment, everyone that gave a thought today, oh God, Lord, we ask that you would just minister. Speak to the hearts of your people, oh God. Allow them to know that you are with them, that you are for them, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood today. Thank you for the blood.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the blood, God. Thank you for keeping us covered, oh God.
Hallelujah.
And those of us, oh God, hallelujah, that might have ended up in divorce, oh God, Lord, we ask that you would just mend the brokenhearted on today. Thank you for knowing what we stand in the need of, oh God. Lord, those of us that are seeking a mate, oh God, Lord, we ask that you would just intervene and send that one, hallelujah, that you have properly prepared, oh God, to be compatible with us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, hallelujah, we come against the counterfeits, oh God.
Hallelujah.
We come against every counterfeit,
Jesus.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, you're real.
Yes,
you are real. You are real.
Hallelujah.
You are real.
You,
you're real.
Yes,
you're real, oh God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Have your way.
Hallelujah.
Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for couples like Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca Simmons, oh God. Thank you, God, for allowing them to be living examples, oh God. Hallelujah. Not to say that they're not going through anything, oh God, but they are examples that we can look upon. Hallelujah. Yes, God, to display your glory. You're displaying your glory in their lives, oh God. Thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives, oh God. We thank you for the ministry, oh God, the marriage ministry, oh God, that you've given them. Thank you for the ministry that you've given them, the burden for your people. Hallelujah. So that we might flow and be in place the way that you've called us to be.
Yes,
thank you for your glory
Lord.
Today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your
Hallelujah.
Presence, oh God.
Thank
you for
Thank
this outlet.
Jesus.
Thank you for the broadcast, oh God. Thank you for everyone that takes the time, oh God.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
God.
To dial in.
Lord.
Hallelujah. To type in. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, God.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. We may
Thank
not have anything
Jesus.
To say at all times, but we're taking it in. We're
yes,
taking
Lord.
It in. We're taking in every word, oh God. Lord, we thank you for keeping us encouraged today. There's nothing too hard for you.
Yes, God.
What's impossible with man is possible with thee, oh God.
Yes, Lord,
continue to be
yes.
in control. Continue to be in control. In the name of Jesus, I ask all of these things. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we magnify your name. Oh,
yes,
God, your word
Hallelujah.
Can you be praised.
Yeah,
Lord,
God.
There's none like you, Lord. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise today.
Praise,
just because
praise,
of who you are. Lord, we love you and we bless your name. Oh, we give you honor, God. We just call out to you today to say, have mercy, God. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on us, God. Have mercy on our sisters, God. Have mercy even on some of the men, God, who are walking through this thing called domestic violence, God. Oh, Lord, we lift up the Hudson family to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you go and touch that young mother, Julia Hudson, God, and that you touch her sister, Jennifer Hudson, God, that you touch them for the losses that they have incurred on this week, God. Oh, Lord, comfort their hearts, Father God. Oh, walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord. Oh, Lord, you said that you would never leave us, nor would you ever forsake us. So, Lord, we lift up this family to you on today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come again, come aside from speculation, Father God. We come aside from, Father God, even, Father God, examining, Father God, their personal lives, Lord. And we ask you to forgive us, Father God,
Hallelujah.
Even
Hallelujah.
For some of the thoughts or some
yes.
of the words that we have thought
Hallelujah.
And spoken, Father God,
Jesus.
Pertaining to this very tragic
Jesus.
Incident, God.
Jesus.
But we lift them
Hallelujah.
Up to you today, God.
Yeah.
And we ask
yes.
that you cover them with your blood, Father God.
Hallelujah.
That you cover them with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you strengthen them, God. That you undergird them, Lord.
Yes.
That you walk with them, Lord, even
yes.
as they make funeral arrangements, God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, that you strengthen that community, Lord. We come against gunfire and gang violence, Father God, against drug wars, God. In the name of Jesus, in Chicago, Father God, in that section, Father God, in the whole city, God. And we declare, Father God, peace in the middle of a storm, Father God. In the name of Jesus, peace be still. Peace be still. Be still enough for the violence in our neighborhoods. We come against violence in every urban neighborhood right now in the name of Jesus. Every violence in every home, God. Every domestically violent home, Father God. We call into order right now in the name of Jesus. We call the abuser into order, Father God. We, Father God, ask that you touch the heart of the abuser right now in the name of Jesus. That you begin to work with the abuser right now. That you begin to convict his heart, to convict her heart, God, in the name of Jesus. Protect our children, God, our innocent children, God. In the name of Jesus, protect our young lives, Father God. Those who will grow up, Father God, if this cycle is not broken, to be abused and to be abusers, Lord. And we call, Father God, everything in their lives into order. We call them victorious, God. We call them men and women of God right now in the name of Jesus. We break generational curses right now in the name of Jesus. Coming down the line, coming down the generations, God, in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Father God, that the curse is broken by the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary in the name of Jesus. So we break every curse. We break every yoke over the lives of your people, making them think that they deserve to be treated in such a manner, making them believe that they deserve to be abused, that they deserve to be neglected, that they deserve to be abandoned, that they deserve to be cheated on and kicked and spit on. We break every yoke right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we call the women, Father God, up into their worth, their true worth right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That the woman will say that she knows who she is, that she will stand up and be counted amongst the daughters of God, that she will stand up and say, I will not take it anymore, that she will stand up and say that I will not be somebody's down low lover, that I will not be somebody's mistress, that I will not allow myself to be somebody's sperm bag in the name of Jesus, that she will stand up and say, I know who I am in the name of Jesus, and I am walking in the victory that Christ has afforded me through his blood in the name of Jesus. We are taking off the mask today. I'm not going to walk behind the mask pretending to be one thing while I'm walking trying to be another. I will bring my spirit and my soul into alignment right now in the name of Jesus. I will put the soulless realm of my person under the blood in the name of Jesus. I will not tolerate nonsense in the name of Jesus. I will stand up and set a higher standard, the standard that God has set for my life. I will walk according to the God standard that's already been established for my life. So we pray for women everywhere, God. We pray for men everywhere right now in the name of Jesus who have allowed themselves to be mistreated. Right now in the name of Jesus, we call healing into their hearts right now. You said that you would take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. So we call healing. We declare that you are healed. For every girl that had to watch her mother be beaten, for every boy that had to watch his mother be murdered, for every person that had to watch their father kill themselves, for every person that has to watch their father abuse or verbally their mother, we call healing.
Yes, we call healing.
We call for healing. We call you healed.
Hallelujah.
We call you healed in the name
God.
Of Jesus.
Thank
we call you healed. Jesus said, by my stripes you are healed. We call you healed in the name of Jesus through the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. We call you healed in the name of Jesus. We call your spirit healed. We call your soul healed. We call your heart healed in the name of Jesus. We call you, even a little girl who felt like she had to lay somewhere and die, and to grow up to be a woman, for every dead woman inside of a sick, for every dead girl inside of a sick woman, we call you healed. Little girl, as Jesus said, little girl, I say to you, get up. Get up right now in the name of Jesus. Stand up and meet the woman that you have become. Stand up and meet the woman that you have become in the name of Jesus. Your life cannot be full unless you come into fullness of healing, fullness of victory, fullness of wholeness, fullness of who God has called you to be. So we declare you healed right now in the name of Jesus. And we call you victorious in Jesus' name, that you can walk into the fullness of everything that God has called you to walk into. God does have your husband out there looking for you, but you have to be healed. You have to be free. You have to be liberated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We call your marriage healed for the woman of God. Woman of God, you married the man. You were not saved. He was not saved. We call your marriage healed in the name of Jesus. We believe that God can do everything but fail. We believe that God can heal your marriage. God's saying, hold on. Hold on. It's too soon to quit. Unless God says walk, we call your marriage healed in the name of Jesus. We call you into relationship with the one true God, the only God that can save your marriage, the only God that can heal your husband, the only God that can deliver your husband from his bondage. We call you healed right now in the name of Jesus. We call your marriage whole. We call your marriage whole. We call you into a true relationship with God so that you can hear what thus says the Lord. What is God saying, woman of God? That's the thing that you need to know for this season. So we pray right now for wisdom. We pray for clarity. We pray that you will be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear what thus says the Lord for this time, for this season that you're in. We pray, Father God, we pray clarity over your marriage through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. We pray that God has given you wisdom. We declare that God has given you wisdom right now, even as you listen to this prayer, that he's given you wisdom to know what the next step to take is. We're praying that God will give you wisdom to know. And for the single woman out there, there's a single woman out there, and you're in relationship with a man right now, and all he does is beat you. All he does is beat you and tell you that it's your fault. We bind him up right now in the spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, and we cover you with the blood of Jesus, and we declare to you right now, hear me, we speak to your spirit right now, that is none of your fault. It is not your fault that he has taken the liberty to make you his punching bag. It is not your fault that he has taken the liberty to hit on you, and he has not even honored you by making you his wife. It is not your fault. So we call you up out of that situation right now in the name of Jesus. We quicken your spirit, man, right now in the name of Jesus, and we call you whole. We talk to the little girl that saw her mama beaten. You think you have to take it just because you saw your mother take it. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we call you up out of that situation. Right now, come up, get up, arise, and come out of that situation. You're not married. You're not married to him, and you allow him to beat you. God says, come out. Come out. You allow yourself to be on the down low. God says, come out. Come out. You allow yourself to be pimped. God says, come out. In the name of Jesus, you're worth more than that, God says.
Jesus,
I have put
Jesus,
a higher
hallelujah.
Value on your life than that. In the name of Jesus. So we love you, God.
Hallelujah.
And we praise you, God. And we pray that these prayers are reaching
you,
God.
Jesus.
And we pray,
hallelujah.
Father God, that women are being lifted up out of the domestically violent relationships right now, that they won't allow themselves to keep going back, that they won't allow themselves to keep getting beaten, that they won't allow themselves to keep being used. So, Lord, we pray for every woman right now, and we ask, God, you to have your way. Let your will be done. Let your will be done in their lives. Let your will be done in their relationships, God. Let your will be done, God. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you said that if we pray, anything according to your will, that we can be confident that you hear us. And with this confidence, Lord, we stand confident that you hear this prayer and that you are healing those who are broken, that you are saving those who are lost, that you are delivering those, Father God, who are in bondage, that you are healing those who are sick, that you are opening the eyes of those who are blind, that you are opening the ears of those who can't hear you, that you are leading those who are lost, God. We believe through this prayer that this prayer is making a difference in the lives of so many who are streaming, of so many who are in the chat room, of so many who are listening to the archives, some who are coming in later, and they're coming in, they say, I got to get to the archives. We're praying right now for those, God. We're praying for that woman who tuned in and said, I'm going to keep listening. And she's been listening for the whole hour and a half plus some. And she said, I don't know what to do. And God is saying, woman of God, if you will confess, Jesus Christ as Lord, I will deliver you out of that situation. I'm the change that you've been looking for. I'm the change that you've been looking for. I am the change, God says, that you have been looking for. Your change is not going to be wrapped up in the next man that you find yourself in relationship with. Your change is not going to be wrapped up in that man who doesn't know how to honor you. Your change is not even going to be wrapped up in the next president of the United States of America. God says, I am the change that you are looking for. To receive Jesus Christ into your life, come into relationship with me, and I will make your life brand new. I will give you a brand new walk, God says. I will give you a brand new talk. I will give you a brand new lease on life, and you will just trust me, says the Lord. Can you trust me, says God? So, God, we believe that you're speaking to that woman right now, and that her heart is quickening right now, even at my words, even at this prayer. You said, well, two or more will touch and agree.
Hallelujah.
You will be in our midst. So, Father, we believe that you had a stay this whole 2 hours. Oh, Lord knows we have stuff to do. But, God, your kingdom comes first. You said we will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. And we're seeking souls right now. We're seeking deliverance, Father God, for women, our sisters who are in bondage, Father God, and even our brothers who find themselves caught up in the domestic violence cycle. They're violent. They're beaten. They're abusing. They're neglecting. They're keeping their children and their wives down. Lord, we pray for these people, that only you can break this yoke in their lives. Only Jesus can make the difference. So, Lord, we give everyone that we pray for on today to you, even as the prayer continues. And we ask that you have your way, God. Let your will be done. Heal that brokenhearted woman, Lord. Heal the sick. Change lives. Save souls, Father God. Set the captive free. Oh, God, we know you can do it, and only you can do it. We pray for Nova Gasson and her husband, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the testimony that the sister brought to the chat room, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for lives that are being changed as a result of the book that he has written, Father God, the Orphan's Prayer, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I believe the name of the book was An Orphan's Prayer. We bless this book right now in the name of Jesus. We pray your supernatural blessings upon this book and upon every book that I have written, God. Nobody's Business, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Father God. Pump Up the Power, Father God. And Daddy Love, Father God. We pray your blessings upon these books, Father God, that have been, Father God, sent out into the atmosphere, sent out into the world to heal those who are hurting. And right now we lift up An Orphan's Prayer, Father God. We lift up Nova Gasson's husband, Father God, that you will continue to heal him, continue to use him for your glory, Father God. Let him not go back, Father God, but continue to move forward to do that which you have called him to do, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will use him mightily, Father God, for this time that we're living in this time that so many are being abused.
Jesus, my God.
Hallelujah. 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 We pray for Dana Neal, Father God. Oh, God, last but not least, even as Tina comes, we pray for Dana Neal, Father God. We pray for her husband, God. We pray that you will save her husband, God, that you will set him free, Father God, that you will set his feet on solid ground, that you will pick him up from his bed of affliction, God, that you will take away the anger, Father God, that you will take away, Father God, the dissatisfaction with life, Father, that you will change his whole world, Father God, that you will rock his world, Father God, that you will change him, that you will save him, that you will deliver him, that you will set him free, Father, that he will know you like his wife has come to know you, God. We pray that he will know you like his wife has come to know you, God, that you will save his very soul. Save his soul, God. Save his soul, God. Oh, Lord, there's so many lies hinging in the atmosphere. There's so many lies hinging on his salvation, God. So we ask, Lord, for our sister Dana, that you would save her husband, that you would change his life, that you will, Father God, let him know you like his wife knows you, that you will heal this marriage, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you will save this marriage, God. Only you can do it. Only you can change them. Only you can heal them. Protect our sister. Put a hedge of protection around her. We come against AIDS. We come against HIV in the name of Jesus. We come against any disease that will try to attack attach itself to her in the name of Jesus. And we declare that she's walking in total liberty and total healness, God, in the name of Jesus, that she has a hedge of protection that cannot be broken in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for protecting her, for keeping her, for keeping her mind, for keeping her body, for keeping her soul, God, for keeping her on the straight and narrow, for keeping her, Father God, with her testimony on her lips, that the lives will be saved as a result of what you're doing in her marriage. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the glory that's being established right now in the name of Jesus in the life of Dana Neal and her husband and her children.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Hallelujah.
You, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
God.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord God. I love your
thank
word, Father
you,
God. And I thank
Hallelujah.
You. Your word does say, return my word to me. Father
yes,
God.
God.
Your spirit hovers above the earth.
Yes.
Your word to perform it. And that your word would not return to
yes.
me void. So praise
Hallelujah.
The glory of God and his grace by which he has made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Father God, I thank
yes,
you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Chapter 1, verse 7, which he has made us to abound towards, which he had made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence.
Yes.
Having been made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he may gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are in earth in him, in
yes.
whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according
Hallelujah.
To the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first being trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In
Hallelujah.
Him we also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, hallelujah, of your salvation, in which also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So thank you, Father God. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have an inheritance. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are more than enough.
Yes.
You are more than enough for all of our situations. You are more than enough for our pain. You are more than enough for you have healed our hearts, Father God. Abuse
yes.
or abuser, you are the one. You are the microsurgeon that can get into that heart and make that heart of stone now a heart of flesh.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Father God. We thank you for your spirit who is our comforter that clings, Father God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To us sent through Jesus Christ that after he ascended, he said, I will send you a comforter.
Yes.
I will send you
Hallelujah.
A comforter. And I thank you that we don't have to be alone, that you are there, Father God, if we open our eyes to see you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
So I thank you for your comfort and your love. I thank you for everything that you are. I thank you because you are worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for your mercy
Hallelujah.
And your grace. I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, I have a heart of thanksgiving
Hallelujah.
Right now for the
Hallelujah.
Obedience, Father God, of my pastor, Father God, who got on the line all week. I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because we don't
thank
know
you,
what was invested.
Hallelujah.
These things are a mystery. It's a mystery to us. Our minds may not be fruitful, but you know, Father God,
yes.
that thing which you have called us to do, and that if we act in obedience, Father God, if we act in obedience,
Hallelujah.
Your work and your will is done. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Lord.
Hallelujah. I thank you for all the
thank
hearts,
you,
souls,
Jesus.
And minds that are gathered today, purpose to serve you in spirit and in truth.
Yes,
I thank
hallelujah.
You, Father God, that though things are going on around us, they're happening around us, that you have given us a choice, hallelujah, to either walk in the flesh or walk by your spirit, and we have chosen today
yes,
to walk
hallelujah.
After the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We thank you, Father God, that there is
Thank
goodness
you.
And
Hallelujah.
Mercy,
Thank
even
you,
in the
Jesus.
Hard situation.
Thank you, Lord.
The hard
Hallelujah.
Situation, the funerals, Father God, the pain, the absence. Father, I think about the kids, and I think about the people watching. I think about that, Father God, that you would just give them a supernatural peace
yes.
that only you could give them. So there's no thorn seed of bitterness, hatred, and animosity
yes.
left with the children or left with the people around. Father God, even for the one who has committed that crime.
Yes, Lord.
Father God,
yes, Lord.
I can't even understand the mental prison that you have to be in to do such a thing. But, Father, I ask you for mercy on
mercy,
his soul.
Mercy, God. Hallelujah.
On
Hallelujah.
His soul.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Father, that you would send a laborer, to preach and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to him.
Yes, Lord.
So that
Hallelujah.
He can be free, finally free, even if he is incarcerated for the rest
yes,
of his
God.
Life, that he will experience a freedom that only you can give.
Yes, Lord.
That only you can give. So, Father, I just thank you because you are more than
thank
enough. You are
you.
Sure enough, God. You are sure enough, God, all by yourself. All by yourself.
Thank
we don't have
you,
to
Lord.
Fabricate
Hallelujah.
Makeup, flip the script, nothing, because you are God all by yourself.
All by yourself. Hallelujah.
And all by yourself. And
yes.
we thank you for that,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank
that you.
You
love us, that you comfort us, that you
yes,
have the
God.
Answer for us.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We just need to walk in faith and believe your word, Father God, and accept your answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have what you say. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's in the
Hallelujah.
Name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, I lift up my sister Tina to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Jesus,
I thank you, Lord,
God.
Father God, for what you've done in her life, Father God, and the testimony,
you,
Father God, that's even still being wrought out, Father God. I thank
yes.
you for her faithfulness, God. I thank you, Father God, for her heart. I pray for healing over her life right now in the
thank
name
you.
Of Jesus, Father God. Continue to heal her, Father God, and continue to restore everything that the canker worm has stolen, Father God. Cover her children, God, and come against any,
yes.
Father God, side effects, Father God, from this, Father God, divorce that she has had to go through, Father God, that these children would not be negatively impacted, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I call them victorious, Father God. I call them
yes.
healed and delivered. I call them healthy, Father God, and prosperous, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And continue
Jesus.
To work with my sister, Father God. Continue to walk her through the hard places, God, in the name
yes.
of Jesus. Continue to
Jesus.
Catch every tear, God, in the name of
yes.
Jesus, and continue to comfort her, even in those hard, difficult midnight hours, God, because she knows and we know that joy truly does come in the morning. So, Lord, thank you that she can
yes.
rejoice even in the midst
yes.
of hard times and that she can minister even while she herself is going through. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for her and her life and her testimony and her faithfulness. And, Lord, we lift her up to you right now, Lord, and continue to say, have your way, and let your will be done in her life as you continue to get the glory in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let Jesus, there's a song and it's called Jesus, and we're going to go off the air, and I want that song to play as we go off the air. God bless you, everybody. I mean, God is good. We're going to leave with prayer. Amen, hallelujah, knowing that God is worthy and he is going to do continually what he said he would do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to go out worshiping God
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and worshiping Jesus. God bless you, ladies. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, everybody still in the chat room, Nova Gatson. God bless you. Amen. Mrs. D. Neal. God bless you. Let this song minister to you.
For me, I'm so glad you died for me. So glad you shed your blood just for me. So glad you rose for me, sweet Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, sweet Jesus, Jesus. Help me sing,
Jesus.
Jesus! Bless the Lord. Come on, give him glory. Hallelujah.